Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Steve invites you to check out KPP Financial's Balanced Income Program. This is a fully diversified program designed to reduce risk from any one stock, bond, or sector. And as with all of our programs, one or more of KPP Financial principals invest their money right alongside with the clients, which we call parallel investing. To find out more, just go to investtalk.com when you're ready and click on the Investments tab. Or you can send Steve a note, click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is Thursday, September 15th, 2016. And I'm here to help the average investor avoid the pitfalls and try to succeed in investing. That's my goal. Make better investing and better management decisions. That's what we all need to do. I'm not excluding myself. We all need to make better decisions. And of course, you know, there's been reams of articles written on the various retirement accounts and rules and requirements and all the regulations and all that stuff. Everybody, it's everywhere. But still, there is some confusion. Okay, what are the types of accounts that you can use for retirement? Put money in it, have that money be deductible from your adjusted gross income for the year you put in that money, and have it grow tax-free. And there's a number of types of them. Most common, IRA. That's the basic retirement account that an individual can open and contribute to as long as they have earned income. You have to make money, then you can put money in it. The most you can contribute in all IRAs, traditional and Roth IRAs, is $5,500 for 2015 and 2016, or $6,500 if you're age 50 or older. It's called a catch-up plan, extra $1,000. Okay? Now, remember, the money you fund the IRA with is tax deductible. The regular IRA is tax deductible in the year that you put it in. Try to remember that. Okay, now also remember, if you have a plan at work, okay, for instance, if you are covered in a retirement plan at work, 401k, 457, whatever they are, there are some limits on how much you can put away. So you got to be aware of that. But a Roth IRA operates very similar to a regular IRA, except the money is not tax deductible the year that you put it in. But over all the years that it grows, just like a regular IRA grows over all the years, when you start taking money out of a Roth, you don't have to pay any income tax on that, but you do in a regular IRA. A simple IRA, that's a retirement plan available for small businesses with fewer than 100 employees. And of course, almost everybody is familiar with a 401k provided by private employers for their employees. Okay? A sole proprietorship, by the way, you can set up a 401k for just yourself. Okay. Then there's a 457, 450. Yeah, there's different other plans, but those are not for private employees. Those are for like state jobs or teachers' jobs or, you know, state employees or federal. Now, do you have questions about these programs? You can check in right now or anytime with any money question. 888-99-CHARTERS are anytime number. We'll try to answer the question on the very next program.
Hi, this is Seth from Santa Cruz, and I was just calling. I'm curious about a statement, and I wanted to get your opinion on that. And the statement is, historically, over the long term, the value category will outperform growth category. You know, in long stocks or ETFs. Anyways, thank you. Have a great one. Bye.
That is absolutely true. Value trumps growth. Value investment trumps growth investment over the long period. But what makes people think that's not true is growth has spectacular short periods of times. Think of the dot-com. Coming out of recession, growth works great. But long-term, Long-term value investing works better than growth. And we at KPP Financial, my firm, we are value plus growth. We want value. We don't want to overpay, but we also want some growth. We don't want to just be a value investor only. We want to kind of try to get the best of both worlds if we can. But you hear me on the radio constantly. People call up about a particular stock. I always say, well, that's overvalued. That's overvalued. That's over. Wait for a pullback. That's overvalued. When you hear that from me, that should give you a hint of what kind of investor I am. I'm more of a value investor. And value does trump growth over the long period. Value is not nearly exciting, though. That's the problem. Growth is more exciting. Value isn't. Everybody wants growth. I want that stock to double, triple, quadruple in a year. Everybody wants that. But that's not the kind of investor I am. I mean, it'd be great. I don't have a problem, but I'm looking for value. And I see value in certain parts of the market right now, but not everywhere, certainly not everywhere. Let's try to answer a question via the text message. Hi, Steve, Justin. I would like to know your opinion on Church and Dwight. The symbol is CHD. Thank you. It's always great when you give me the symbol, everybody. It makes my life just a little bit easier. So I appreciate the symbol. CHD is Church and Dwight. It's out of New Jersey. Manufactures baking soda, laundry detergents, condoms, pregnancy tests, toothpaste, and other consumer products. It's a $12 billion company. And this would be a non-cyclical company. Why? Because it will go up or down. Their earnings will be consistent even in an economic downturn. Doesn't mean the earnings won't go down in an economic downturn. It means that they will be pretty consistent. It doesn't just go down. People still need laundry detergents, baking soda, consumer products. They still need those no matter what the recession is. It just may have less sales. Unlike a cyclical, a product that you can get along without, these products you need still in a recession. People still need to buy them. So let's look at it. It's going to make $1.77 this year. That's 9% more than last year. And then next year it's going to make $1.91. That's 8% more. It's growing 4%, maybe 5% it sells per quarter. Return on equity is very high at 21. That's a very good number. Pays a dividend 1.5%. And it doesn't have hardly any debt. So all those things you should figure in your mind, just to say, well, it's probably expensive then because it's so steady and strong. And it is. It's a $47 stock going to make $1.91 next year. So that's what, 22, 23 PE? Well, the five-year low on this PE for this company is 20. So, you know, it is expensive. But maybe it deserves to be expensive. Okay, looking at a chart of this company, it's been recently hit in hard times. It went from 50 to 47 in about four or five days. And I don't know why. I haven't looked it up. It might have been earnings. That'd be something. I think you need to wait till it goes to the low 40s, maybe $45 a share if it gets down there and you really want to own it. I wouldn't own it because I don't, from what I can see right now, I see no catalyst for it to grow higher, be more, you know, it's not like it's really underpriced. It's not, you know, it's not like there's really compelling reasons to buy it. They're not. Mutual funds have been buyers. They're buying it. But it's not exciting for me, so it's not for me. But it's a good, solid company. Let's go to Ron in Concord. Concord. How you doing, Ron?
Just fine. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I'm interested in British Petroleum, specifically the dividend of 7.16%.
Okay. British Petroleum is a very large United Kingdom oil company, $103 billion, so it's a mega cap company. And we all know that they had that Deepwater Horizon well in the Gulf that blew up and it cost them fortunes. And it looks like that problem is finally getting behind them a bit. Okay? Now, your issue here is, like all the big oils, earnings, sales have been going down for some time. But earnings look like they finally a bottom this year, and they're going to start turning around next year. Next year, they're supposed to make $2.79, which is 120% more than this year. They're only going to make $1.26. So based on next year's earnings, this stock looks fairly low at about 11, 12 PE. Okay, so it looks fairly reasonable, and it had to sell off a bunch of assets to pay for these lawsuits, and I think most of them behind. That's one thing I would look at, Ron, and see how much litigation they have left. Is all that behind them? And I don't know if you know that, do you? I don't. Anyways, that's one thing. They have paid a 7.1% dividend. They have a $6.92 cash flow, so they probably would be very hesitant to cut the dividend. They would be hesitant. They don't want to because that would make their stock look worse. And like all the oil companies, you know, I think you need to – they've all recovered from our lows made at the beginning of the year from being a low stock price. And they've all the big majors – you know, I was a proponent of the major companies – for months now.
COP.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Conoco.
What about Conoco? You want me to look at that too?
I'm comparing those because the earnings I thought were negative for BP and for Conoco.
No.
And the dividend 7% versus 4%. So I was trying to figure out what enticed you onto the Conoco versus onto British Petroleum.
Well, that's a good question. Because we do own ConocoPhillips in some of our managed account, and ConocoPhillips is also going to turn around. But remember I said at the top of the show, I'm a deep value investor. I like buying deep value. ConocoPhillips was cheap, you know, based on what I saw and their book value, those kinds of things. On the various relationships we look at, I thought it was cheap. But so is British Petroleum. But British Petroleum, I always have this worry about that overhang from the deep water, deep water horizon and the Gulf spill. So that I like big oil. I do. Appreciate the call. Appreciate it, Rick. Thank you. Each month I set aside time to review retirement portfolios on Skype and on the telephone with listeners all over the country. To schedule your hour with me, no matter where you live, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Okay, you need, and we all need, to prepare ourselves for the three phases of financial life. We all are in, or have been in, the accumulation phase. And are you in the preservation phase now, or distribution phase of your financial life? We're going to talk about those. It's going to be our main talking point. Also, what are some of the upside and downside market scenarios that can push the market? And what are the possibilities or estimates of the S&P going up or down percentage-wise based on these upside and downside market scenarios? So I'm going to share some with you. Did you see the news on Michigan who refused to give Tesla or let them open a dealership? Why is that important for Tesla? Well, we'll go over that. And this was a big day for statistics. I want to go over some of the economic statistics that came out today and talk about them a little bit. And, you know, I don't want to bury you with statistics. I know that's boring. But you really, if you're going to be a market investor, you need to kind of understand what drives our economy, because our economy drives our market, our stock market. Why? Because the strength or weakness of the economy is driven by the consumer, and what the consumer spends equals to what corporations make, and their profits translate into rising or falling stock prices. It's all intertwined. You cannot separate them. So you have to understand the whole scenario. One reason to sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program is the webinars. We record our live webinars and make them available to our insiders. You can watch them anytime, like Seeing the Cycles, How to Recognize and Harness the Power of Market Cycles. Again, being an insider is free. You don't have to pay a cent. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Dave calling from Pennsylvania. I'm curious about Apple. I'm up probably close to 25% as we stand today, and looking to take some profit. That's enough for me. If I'm reading the chart right, it looks like there's some resistance right around $115, which is where it's at today. Just wondering where would be a good place to take profit. If you had any suggestions, where to get out. Appreciate any comment you have. Thanks again.
I think this would be a good area. I think it's about 117 to 120 that you're going to start seeing it really slump. But it's been up so sharply in just 1, 2, 3, 4 days that it's going to give back some of this move up. So if you're going to take profits, now's the time to do it. This would be a smart time to do it. Now, I think Apple's worth probably $130 or so, maybe $140. And we own Apple in our stock managed accounts. But if you're a trader, this would be a good time, because you know, I think it might go to 117, 120, because that's where I think the resistance really starts to kick in, and it's at 115.57 today. And just for everybody, it was, you know, $100, $102, $103 3 or 4 days ago. So, you know, I mean, in July, it was 92. Everybody hated it. Remember? May? Everybody hated Apple. Hated, oh, they're going to fall apart. Oh, no. See, you know, I look at the numbers and say, oh, man, this is a really good value. The P.E. ratio is only 13. Gosh, that's pretty low for a company that makes hand over fist money. $8.90 next year, $8.28 this year. But they made $9.22 last, 2015. And therefore, the stock went down because sales and earnings fell. What's $8.90 worth? Is it worth a normal market PE ratio? They have virtually no debt. Well, they do have debt, but they have so much. They have debt because they pay dividends and they didn't want to repatriate the money back from Europe to pay another income tax on it. They already paid the income tax in Europe. They don't want to pay another one. It's smart. Anyways, I'm going to hold on to my Apple. See, no big fundamental reason to sell it. It's still fundamentally strong. Did you hear they sold out of all their new iPhones? And, of course, Galaxy with their phones exploding and burning is not hurting Apple at all, is it? See, sometimes you just got to be patient. But I would, if I was a trader, I'd be thinking about getting out right in here. I might wait to see the first day of weakness before I did that. But, man, I would think about it. 888-99 chart, everybody. Love to talk to you. Want to talk to you. Okay, let's talk about the different phases in retirement, okay? There's the accumulation phase, and that's, you know, from age, 20 up to age, 60? You're accumulating wealth. That's what that whole period is about. You can be accumulating it way over age 62, 60 as well, not 62 age, but as well. But usually it's 20 to 60. And when you hit around 60 or so, could be as early as 55, depending on when you want to retire, you start preserving your money. You can't take a big hit anymore. It could be 50, it could be 55, 60, but somewhere in that area, usually you want to start preserving the money, protect it. You still want to grow it, but not take a lot of risk. Take some risks. And then, of course, there's the distribution phase when you have to start taking money out. Now, we can help with that. You know, we can help with all three phases, but I notice that we're helping more and more and more with people with the distribution phase now as everybody gets older. And, you know, we set up programs for people in our balanced income program where we throw up, 4% income and we get some growth from that. It's very, I've noticed we've been setting up more and more and more like checks coming to the retired people on a month. You know, they get a check from their account and that's what they're living on. And that's what it's for. You know, it's not for you to accumulate and then take it to the grave. It's to spend in retirement. But you got to have enough, don't you? It's one of the things that, you know, I sit and talk about when I meet these people, do you have enough? Well, how much do you spend? Some people spend a lot more money and some people spend a lot less money. But you need to spend the money that you have and be happy. That's the key, happiness in retirement, contentness. be content. I talked to a lady the other day, and she's very content. She only needs a couple thousand dollars a month. Very content. I spoke to a lady and a husband a month ago, and they need at least $12,000, $13,000 a month to be content. It's different people, different desires, you know, different, you have different needs and different happiness levels. It doesn't matter what you need. It matters if do you have the assets to provide for that need. That's it. It's not rocket science. And then we take, and I help you, we run the math, see if it works. Now, I'm open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you get through to me right now. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and I'm certainly glad you're with me today.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast, and we'll continue. Remember, no matter where you listen in the U.S., you can have your retirement portfolio reviewed by a registered investment advisor at no cost. Steve does a few of these each month on Skype or telephone. To schedule your time with Steve, just click on the InvestTalk tab on investtalk.com and then Portfolio Review. And now, more InvestTalk. You're listening to Invest Talk for Thursday, September 15th. Some excellent investment options designed specifically for college savings to help you grow your money and give you tax advantages too. 7-point checklist for creating a college fund. That's our talking point next time. What's yours right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us from anywhere in the USA.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
Hi, Steve. Steve, I had a question on Ericsson ERIC.
Okay.
I have bought it at average price of $7.15, and I want to know if it is a good buy still, or should I just hold it?
Okay, this is Ericsson, everybody. Headquarters in Sweden. Swedish manufacturer of wireless and fixed-line telecommunications networks and handsets. I didn't know they made handsets. I didn't know they made phones. Anyways, it's a $23 billion company. So it's not small, Jay. So it can probably survive a lot of things because it's so big. Pays a dividend yield of 4.4. It's going to make 51 cents a share this year, but that's almost 30% less than last year. It made 72 cents. Next year, it's going to bounce up to 58 cents. So it's going to stabilize very close to where it is, I think, because it's a $6.83 stock, and it's looking pretty. These are the kind of stocks I like, Jay, because at some point it looks like it's turning into a value play. The 5-year PE range is 10 to 67, and right now it's at 10. Now next year at 58 cents a share, it's going to be 11 or so, but that's still very low to it. You know, it's very low for this company. So it did break support. It did break down below support, and that's probably why you're a bit worried, I'm assuming, Jay, because it did break, about $7 or so. There it is at 683. So the question we have to ask ourselves is how low is low? You know, Jay, I don't know how much you have it. Hopefully you don't have too much. But if it was me, I'd just hold on to it.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Why? It's still going to downtrend and everything else, but now it's becoming much more of a value play. It's going to stop going down. Now, this is going to go on my watch list, by the way. It's going to go on my watch list. I'm going to wait till it stops falling and starts up, and then I'll consider buying it. I got to do a bunch of research on it, but I will consider buying it at that stage. Why? Because it's a $23 billion company. It's a big market cap company. It's got, you know, it's got heft behind it. So what happens? I need to know why the earnings have been going down. You know, I want to know why it's so weak. And is this weakness going to cause it to go bankrupt? If not, then there's a high probability that either, one, they'll come out of it themselves, or two, some other bigger partner will buy it. Let's go to Manush in San Jose. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure. I would like to know more about the stock. Its symbol is PSTG.
Pure Storage.
Sam, Tom and Gold.
Yeah.
Pure Storage.
Pure Storage. Pure Storage Company. You thinking about buying it?
Yes, because it has been going up recently. So, thinking of buying it.
Well, let's take a look. It's out of Mountain View, up in your area, up there in the San Jose area. Provides flash-based storage systems for large and mid-sized organizations in the U.S. and abroad. It's a $2.7 billion company, and it's a $13.79 stock. Sales are growing. Sales are growing about 80, 90, 100% in the last two, three quarters per quarter. But they still haven't made any money, never made any money, and until they make money, for me, I would not be a buyer. This is a pretty speculative play for you. It IPO'd, when was that? December? November? Last year. So it's
less than a year. Yeah,
it was a new one. It IPO'd at $17, and today it's at $13.79. And this is, Manush, this is kind of typical of an IPO. They usually, 6 months later, are down from where they started. That's normal. People think it's not, but it is. It's one of these stocks that, you could roll the dice because their sales growth is so large that you assume they are going to turn it around. But this is one you would take a very small position in. You don't take too much. But it does look like it's coming off the ground to me. It got as low as $10. Now $13.79.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But just remember, you're taking a big chance on this, so don't bet the farm. Okay, just bet some. Okay.
Okay. Sure. No
Thanks.
Problem.
Thanks, Manush. Don't think I don't take a chance ever so often on things. I do. This would not be a value play at all. This is a growth play. Yeah, and this is a pure speculation because they don't make money. You know how I don't like buying companies that don't make money, but this is a new company IPO. Sales growing very fast. You could take a chance on this because the upside potential could be very large. Potential. But you can also lose every dime, too. But I think the odds are better on the upside than the downside. And that's based on just what I'm seeing. I'd have to do a lot more research into, you know, the storage business and how are they getting those huge sales growth numbers. I would like to know. 888-99 chart, upside and downside market scenarios. Okay. I've told you before, the PE ratio is kind of steep right now, right? About 18 or so. Well, if the PE ratios can be maintained, high PE ratios, the chance of the market going up is pretty likely, 20-25%. If the PE ratios are maintained, how do they maintain them? Well, strong economic growth would do it. Turnaround in earnings for corporations would do it. Those PE would stay high or even get higher. If the EU, European Union, managed to reform and grow their economy, I think then you got a good possibility of the market going up. 11, 12, 13%, not as much as those PE ratios staying high. Now, how about the other side? Possible crash. Okay, if the market wakes up someday and participants wake up someday and they believe that we're moving into a recession, the markets could easily go down 30, 40%. That means that corporation earnings are still weak, and they are going to be weak this quarter as well as they were last year. It's still going to shrink. And the EU it falls into recession first, because they probably will before we do. And our numbers dragging us down. I'm going to talk about numbers here in a bit. Then the market's going to fall 20, 30%. What if we have deflation? What if we go into a Japan-like scenario where we don't have inflation, because we don't have inflation, if you looked at the numbers today, and we don't have inflation, and we have kind of a deflationary spike downward, deflation. That happens, the market's going to go down 20, 30% again. It will go down. Think about the Japanese market. Do you know the Nikkei was in 1989, I think 40,000? What is it today? 20? So, yeah, that could happen. 1989, how many years ago that was? Now, if the S&P just normalizes, the market's going to go down 10 to 20%. So what about stagflation? What happens in stagflation? Market will go down 10, 20%. So there's those scenarios. So we have to hope for the PE ratios to maintain their high, lofty levels. And they can. Don't think they can't. They did it all in the 1990s, late 1990s for years. It can. Or if the EU finally turns it around, and there's a little bit of evidence that might happen, that maybe they're getting a little bit better in some places, not so good in others. Anyways, and by the way, all this is within the next 12 months. Interesting, huh? Do you see what the market did today? The Dow was up 178. The S&P up 22. The NASDAQ was up 76. So the NASDAQ led the way, and you can thank Apple. Apple was the one who really did the surge. Remember, it's so big. Apple's so big. It's a $622 billion company. So when it moves up 12% in a day or a week, if it moves up 12% in a week, it's going to affect the market upward. 888-99-CHART. I have a portfolio review day coming up next week. I'll be in San Francisco on September 20th. September 20th. Then San Ramon on the 27th, then San Jose the 28th, the week following. And these are very informal meetings where we look over your retirement accounts together. That's what I do. I look at your financial picture. I make some suggestions. Of course, we go over our management programs that we have that might suit you, and you decide if you want to come aboard or not. But I will answer all questions, give you some information, that's for sure. So just to set that up, go to investtalk.com to set up that one-hour meeting with me and click on the Invest Talk tab, investtalk.com, that's two T's, and click on the Invest Talk tab. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions to make about your home. Sell it, downsize, fix it up. Well, now you have another source of answers for your real estate questions. Get a note to our onboard licensed realtor. Just click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com, and he'll get right back to you.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What do you think of Discover Financial Services? D as a David, F as a France, S as a Sam. Is it a good time to pick up some, or shall I still wait? Look forward for your opinion on the next show. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, this is Discover, the credit card people, okay? Discover issues credit cards in North America and provides payment processing of credit and debit card transactions. It's a $23 billion company, so it's a large cap company. They do a lot of business. They're very solid and not very expensive. How's that? Now, they're going to make $5.72 this year. That's 12% more than last. And then $6.08 next year, which is another 6% higher. It's a $57 stock. So if they make $6 next year, $6.08 is the estimate. Well, that means the PE is at 10. Now, before you get too excited, the five-year range of the PE is 5 to 13. So it's been very low for this company. But the return equity is 21%. Mutual funds are buyers. Management owns 1%, which is a pretty decent chunk of a $23 billion company. They have a lot of debt, which would be normal. They're in the financial industry. Great cash flow. And I think it's a good, solid company. And it was selling for $44 in February. That was when the low, and now it's at 57. I probably, you know, it has fallen off a little bit, and it looks like it's trying to find support right where it is, around $57. There's a lot of support there. If it can bounce up from here, I would be a buyer. If it breaks through downward to the support, the next is the low 50s, 51, 52, maybe 51, 52, right in that way. That would be where you'd pick it, you want to buy it. I do like the company, and because it's in the financial services sector, that whole sector has been beaten up because of the Dodd-Graham Act and because of the financial stresses in 2007. And so the whole sector has been beaten up. But it will one day come back, if you're patient, pays a 2.1% dividend. Discover, DFS. Not a bad company. I mean, I would say better than not a bad, a good solid company. Good solid company. Anyways, 888-99-CHART. Okay, did you see Michigan's decision to refuse to let Tesla open up a dealership? Because they won't let Tesla open up a company-owned dealership. They have laws in Michigan that the dealerships have to be independent. So they said, no, we'll do it. Now, of course, they do that because, you know, Ford and GM have huge operations there. My personal opinion is Michigan is a bunch of politicians that are dinosaurs because they're living in the past. Why shouldn't a company be able to sell directly to its customers? Why does it have to go through a third party? Why? Not this day and age, through internet, through the things that are done, you know, faster, quicker, through online services, everything. And, you know, they're living in the past. They are still wanting to make buggy whips in the age of the horse and cart days, instead of moving forward to the automobile days that took over that industry, and buggy whips and horse-drawn carts all went out of business, right? And they're still hooked to the old system of, we got to have dealerships. Why? We don't have to have dealerships. Nothing wrong with dealerships. But the question is, do we have to have them? There's several states that require independent dealerships. And Tesla is having a heck of a time with those states. But, you know, Tesla can sell their cars online. You drive across the state line, buy it the next state over, and drive it back. Ta-da! It's an old way of doing business, and they need to change. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. If there's a money matter you think I could help you with, give me a call. Let's deal with your money issues. 888-99-CHART. We'll talk about it here and live on the radio.
What are the dangers of short selling? Can anybody do it? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I'm good.
Thank you.
This is regarding the stock CRM. Mm-hmm. So I have been invested in this sub-80s. So the level at 80, 82, or 83. Mm-hmm. So can I hold it or sell? What is your opinion on that?
I'd sell it. Do you see how fast it fell in the beginning of the year when we had a 10% market correction? I mean, this thing fell way more than 10%, 25, 30%. And reason being is because it's so expensive. The PE right now is 84. Now, next year is going to make $1.28 per share. That's up from 95 cents. So it's still really growing fast, both its sales and earnings. But $1.28 is only worth probably a $30, $40 stock, maybe $50, and it's at $73.99 now. I'd run. It broke the 200-day moving average about a week and a half ago on big volume. I don't feel comfortable with it, Ruby. I don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
Now, it's a very high-growing stock, you know, so it's got Yeah, don't. It's not terrible or anything, but it's a $50 billion stock, and it's only doing like, you know, $8 billion in sales. I don't know. It just, it's not a good value. This, remember, this is not me. You're talking to Steve Peasley here. I'm more of a value player plus growth, and but there's not much value here. There's a lot of growth, but there's not much value in this stock. It's overpriced. Roby, thanks for the call. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, 888-99-CHART. Oh, we got another call. I'm just going to move into my last talking point. But if not, that's okay. Let's go to Nick in Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Hi, Steve. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for the show. Thinking of buying some Wells Fargo Bank as a value play, maybe?
Yeah, it would be a value play. You're right on that. Thinking, Nick, a value play, Wells Fargo Bank, and we all know, I think we all know the bad publicity it's had, right? You know all about that, and that's why the stock got crushed in the last week or two. What I would do before I would jump in it, I'd watch it a little bit. It looks like the has strong support around $44 to $45, and it's at $46.15. So it could bounce. Look, it hit almost 40, it almost hit 40 five today and then bounced up. I don't know if you saw that. It's a very low price. It's gonna make $4.20 next year, and it's a $46 stock. So there you go. It's 10-11 PE, 3.3% dividend. Yeah. It's a $232 billion company. Yeah, this is a typical value play, Nick. But you might want to wait.
All right.
You might want to wait to make sure it trades sideways before you jump in. You'd like to see some strength come back.
Okay.
So don't be in a rush.
Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it.
Sir. Thank you.
That's Wells Fargo. WFC was the symbol. WFC. The one before that was Salesforce. The symbol was CRM. CRM is Mary. Big day on economic statistics came out today. Weekly jobless claims, which is a leading economic indicator, was 260,000. It was 259,000 last week. Anything under 300,000 indicates a strong job market, by the way. Retail sales were disappointing. They were down 0.3%. Even if you took out the auto and airplane section, it's still down. And they didn't expect it to be down that much, but they did expect it to fall 0.1%. But that's the first time in several months. And the trend has been down for 3 or 4 months in a row on retail sales. So that's kind of disturbing. Producer price index, 0% inflation. Zero. Okay, well, that's better than last month. It was -0.4% of inflation. The economic, the industrial production number, down 0.4% after being up 0.6% last month. They expected to be down 0.2% this month, and it was down 0.4%. Capacity utilization was down but just barely. These are not great numbers. The weekly jobless claim looks good, but the rest of the numbers look kind of weak, and we've seen weak numbers for a couple, three, 4 weeks now. Our time is up for this hour. A reminder, I will be in San Francisco on September 20th and San Ramon on the 27th and San Jose on the 28th for complimentary retirement reviews. It's 1 hour with me. Set aside an hour. We'll talk about your financial life. I like it. It's kind of fun. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, a producer client, everybody at KPP. Thank you for listening today, and please join us again next time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.